The Press Box is here to catch you up on the latest media stories. Hosted by Brian Curtis and David Shoemaker, these guys have the insight on the biggest stories you care about. Check out The Press Box on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Righty's House. Hope you're all safe and well. Today, we're going to talk about the North London Derby, the return of the Barclays WSL, and then we're going to get into a non-footballing mailbag. And my guests are Ryan Hahn and Flo Lloyd-Hughes. How are you doing?
Good.
You good, good.
Right? Good.
Nice hat, you two.
Yeah.
It's got hats. It's very hatty in here. Very hatty jokes.
How are you?
Obviously, delighted with what's going on with Arsenal, but the Everton stuff. It's caused me a bit of a problem this weekend.
Yeah. Should we talk about that quickly?
Yeah, I think we should. I want to clear some of that. I want to clear that up properly.
All right. So for those who aren't aware of what we're talking about, Everton obviously lost to Southampton on Saturday, but ahead of the game, it was known that the fans were going to do a peaceful sit-in protest. Mm-hmm. And the club released a press release saying that multiple directors weren't going to be attending the game because of credible threats, I believe.
Yeah.
And also that the CEO had been put in a headlock.
Yes.
And multiple outlets reported this. Because I saw an athletic.
I was watching Football Focus and it came up.
On there.
Yeah.
And then you said something on Match of the Day about it. Do you want to?
Well, obviously Ian was on Match of the Day, but since then more information has come out. Athletic posted a piece yesterday, which included a statement from Merseyside Police in which they said no threats or incidents were reported to police prior to the game, but they are in communication with the club to establish if any offences have taken place and to ensure that any future reports are received through existing channels. They say that they will be reported to police, but at this stage, no offences have been reported.
See, and this is why I should have said allegedly. That's the mistake I made on there. But when you look at, when you listen to how it was reported on the actual day, even in the Match of the Day office, everybody was very much like, oh, this is right. And I should have said allegedly. But my problem with it all is that the police, when you look at it, it does cast doubt over it when it came out. But that's the mistake I made, right? And the thing is that Everton fans have been very good always. And I've never, ever seen them in this light. So I was thinking, afterwards, obviously, I'm thinking, right, why haven't we seen nothing? Why haven't we seen something? I saw some film the other day. Someone was filming a bit of paper, right, on the pavement. Why isn't no one filmed Denise Barrett Baxendale getting headlocked? I'm so angry with myself. And I've really let them down, I think, the Everton fans, and they've been very good. So I wanted to apologise for that. And plus, the thing is, right, the morning of it all happening, I got a text message, a WhatsApp message from somebody very, very, who's high up. Who knows Bill Kenwright very well. And the correspondence between them and then to me, I was thinking, I was actually angry with Everton fans at that stage. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to have to say something. Because I want them to be peaceful in their sitting and their protest.
They
very much were. I mean, and they always are. They're, you know what I mean? They've got every right to be frustrated. But the fact is, I just want to apologise. I don't want to go on too much. I just want to apologise because I should have said allegedly. And now what I want to see is some proof. But one thing's for sure is that board and those fans, that's over. That's over. Because they tried to really throw those fans under the bus after the frustration that they've gone through, everything they've gone through up to this point, and then they try to deflect the fact that they've been so incompetent in their work up to this, to now, that they wanted to deflect it onto the fans being nasty. And that is a bullshit move. Sorry, Toffees.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
But the thing is, I was very excited, obviously, because I'm so nervous about Derby Day. And I've always said, I prefer it to be at White Hart Lane. I prefer it to be at Tottenham. The pressure seems to be different because if you're going to lose in front of your own fans. So I was pleased about that.
How does your brain...
What?
You're such a half-empty kind of guy.
Also,
if we're going to lose, at least we're losing far away.
Yeah, also, especially after what happened last season, I wouldn't want to be going back there. But right now, I can understand why you thought, actually, White Hart Lane, not the worst place to be right now.
Also, at the club at the moment, they're trying to push this always forward, and he's just like, always
sideways.
Keep looking in the mirror. No, the only reason why is because it's the derby and I know it means to the fans. I know how this losing this game, especially losing this particular game where Arsenal are, would have given them that kind of energy that I'd hate Tottenham to have. That, that kind of like, you lost when you're top of the league, and even when you're top of the league playing your best and we're not doing well, we still beat you. So I was worried about all that. So that's where it came from, okay?
Tottenham Hotspur have beaten Arsenal in the past with...
We've beaten them since 2014.
Not with a far worse team than they have now, for example. This derby's happened.
Honestly,
like that.
That's what happened. So I'm nervous. But the fact is, when we started playing... And I saw how well we're playing with Tottenham trying to press for a bit. I don't know what that was about. We could just pass through it. I said to myself, you know something, there's nothing to worry about, really, when you look at this particular team and Mikel and how they are and how they're set up, because they're going to stick to their plan. They're going to stick to their plan and people are playing well in the system. So yes, okay, Tottenham are going to try and come out and they might try and press and win the ball high. But we just passed through it. And I thought, you know something, I'm not really worried about this game. I didn't expect us to score like we did, but like... You know, Lloris has got that in him. He has got that in him. So when we scored that, I genuinely thought from that point, we're not losing this game. And it was really good to watch how we played. And why I'm quite confident at the moment about how we're playing is because we're playing exactly how Mikel wants us to play flow. You know, and people are playing well in the system, like I said. So teams are going to have to come and stop that and then try and stop a player who's in form. And just to name one, Ødegaard for me at the moment is probably player of the season. I think Ramsdale in the Premier League, I'm talking Ødegaard, player of the season in the Premier League. And Ramsdale.
I've come for you. Listen, piss off one load of fans at a time, please.
Ramsdale, he won us the game. Made match winning saves, and you cannot win the league without a great goalkeeper.
No, you can't.
You can't win the league without a great goalkeeper. So, there's so many things you could say, but I'm trying to keep it on the down low. That's why even my after show celebration was just like, hey, simply because I don't want to go too over the top. Because I know what people are, just look in the comments.
There's a long way to go, but this weekend was, I think, quite pivotal because, you know, Arsenal are dangerous when Gary Neville starts making some of those noises he was making on Sky Sports. That means they mean business, I think. I think this was...
It's not quite the result where you... When Leicester, when they done their stuff and when they won the league, then when they beat City at the Etihad, that 3-1, that was a result where you went, they're going to win the league now. They can do it now. We haven't quite got to that result yet for me. I don't think we have.
I think... What you say about Ramsdale is so important because I actually think for the first time in a very long time, you look at Arsenal's starting 11 and you compare it to the, you know, United, City, Newcastle, Spurs, Chelsea, and you actually think, well, in every position, those best 11s are kind of swaying towards Arsenal now. I think Ramsdale's the most informed, playing the best goalkeeper in the league right now. That back line is one of the best back lines, not just statistically, but I think in terms of performance and consistency, apart from occasional penalties from some of those centre backs. But I think across the pitch, for the first time in a very long time, you're like, wow, this team is very strong and they're outperforming other people in those same positions, especially City with everything they have at their disposal, the depth, everything. Like, to be playing better than some of those players right now is exceptional, and that's the level you have to hit.
I think you're finally seeing the work of the last 3 years come into full effect. Everything just seems automatic.
Yeah.
And it's a process that takes a while, especially at this level when the margins are so small.
But that's what I think is even more impressive, is that some of those players haven't been within those 3 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, Saliba's stepped up now this season, having been on loan.
Yeah.
Odegaard's now been there for a year, because he came, did he come in January last year?
Yeah. No, year before.
Oh, year before. Okay, so he's been there a little bit longer, but not everyone, Ramsdale, they came start of last season, not everyone's been there for that 3 year cycle, but it's blended quite quickly.
Exactly, because like, you look at Saliba, and Saliba, even when he went for the last year of that loan, he was like, well, why don't we bring him back now? Because we were struck. And they left him there, and now he's come back and he's totally ready. He's,
I think we even said, sorry to cut in, I think we even said it on Stadio or on Wright's house, it's either going to look like an unbelievable decision to send him out for that time, or it's going to be an absolute disaster, and we're going to talk about it in 5 years'
time. At the moment, it looks like an unbelievable decision.
I just give him the eyebrows. Sorry, it's an audio format. I'm just giving.
But like, it's at the moment, like you say, you know, it's you know, people, the first thing people say to me when I start talking about it, I don't, I'm not starting conversations with Arsenal at the moment. People are starting them with me, because they obviously want to, because everybody, you know what I mean? It's like, even
Rio Ferdinand over it. Cristiano called me. I didn't call Cristiano.
No, I'm just saying, I'm trying to
keep, I don't want to talk about it.
I'm trying to keep it down on the down low. Like, I went to the
pub, live my life, man.
Went to the pub yesterday for a little pub. And then there was people in there, and they just literally started to fire Arsenal. Well, Arsenal,
was there a queue?
It wasn't. It was just a normal bar.
Just
like,
start charging a question per Arsenal question. Donate it to charity.
Just trying to sip my Guinness here and enjoy my afternoon.
I'm trying to not go too deep, because then as soon as I start talking to them, then I start going into, you know, my half empty. Yeah, but I know I'd worry about, like, if anything happens to Martin Odegaard or Partey or Saka. Or, then I start going too deep, and I think, Ian, just stop talking to people.
You do have big, like, parent energy with that. I just worry about my boy. And you're the same with the women as well. I just worry about them.
But it's just milestones. I think, you know, there was a lot of hype and excitement at the start of the season. Lots of the Arsenal fans in my life, I had to kind of temper, and I said, get till January. Get till January. Pick off some of those big games. You're now at January, so I think you can genuinely build some of that excitement. But it's all about milestones. Next milestone, that United game, which is huge.
And if they win that game, whether they win it, because I thought it was quite emphatic. Yes, Aaron Ramsdale had to make some good saves, but I wasn't worried about Tottenham. They had a 15-minute spell where you're thinking, can Arsenal get through this? And they did. You know what I mean? Because when they did breach us, then the goalkeeper done unbelievably. That's what you need. Mm. So now all we got to do is, we just got to play the same against United. Of course, they're going to have different kind of problems for us, but we've got problems for them. We've shown them that we can cause them a problem. So it's exciting. And this is what's good about this stage, is that in all my years of playing football and doing well, the first couple of years with Arsenal, yes, we were in and around trying to challenge in mind. But then afterwards, it was cups. You miss this part of the season, because all of a sudden, your whole being, every minute of your being, is about winning the league. Yeah. So you see, like, just walking down the road, if you're going shopping, everything you're doing about yourself, you're thinking about winning the league, because you're in a place where we can't draw now. You can't actually play bad. And as a striker, you can't really miss easy chances and stuff, because it's so defining. And so this is what I crave. This is what I went to Arsenal for, to be a player that's under pressure to perform. And you get that when you're at this stage of trying to win the league. And this is why I got so much respect for the Man United players when they've done it so frequently, and Liverpool before them and stuff like that. And any team that does it for sustained time, even Man City have done it, because you have to get into a mindset of real elitism.
I mean, yeah, it's very, very, very difficult to win the top trophies in professional football. I think, I don't know why, but it's something that's happened, I think, maybe in the last 10 years or so. I think not everyone, but we talk about this a lot on Stadio, about how I think people sometimes underestimate how difficult it actually is to, like, win a Champions League, something that honestly most clubs
but that's
have
why
never
that's
done
what
in their
we're seeing with Liverpool right now.
Mm. Yeah,
why are Liverpool running on fumes? Because they've been striving for that greatness for so long and they've run out of gas.
And also, I mean, the thing is with Liverpool, you're just seeing the toll that such an emotional commitment, let's say, takes over such a sustained amount of time. Because they had that drop off after they won the league that time.
Yeah.
But I think that just goes to show you how hard it is to hang with this Man City team
for
a sustained period. It's hard, man.
And also then go and win the Champions League that they did. That is not easy.
Yeah, those multiple finals, then winning one. It
was always going to be tough for Liverpool to keep that going.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I thought what they were doing, just hanging on to City, and obviously with the different finances and different the players they have to find, they have to work.
Mm.
You know, and so I thought it's gonna be tough for them. People saying when Mane left and that. You got to remember what Mane used to bring to Liverpool is unbelievable.
Yeah,
what
they've really
they've missed him, but not only they've missed him, but the midfield has lost its energy. They haven't got the same intensity pressing. Their line's too high. You can't not press and have a high line. Brighton tore them to shreds, and that for me is when we used to watch Liverpool when they were doing their great stuff. You couldn't get out of that front. If you were trying to pass out, they put you in there, won the ball back, scored a goal, bam. And then the line was up there. Virgil was invincible. You know what I mean? And now you can't close down. You can't get close enough to people. You get past them, you get into Virgil, you get past him, and bam. You know, like Brighton done the other day. And that for me, I think that mentally, trying to start with Man City and stay with that elite mentality of winning all the time.
Yeah.
And then going into a game where a team is playing like Brighton's, because everybody now sees that everybody's going to come and have a go at you.
I think that's the difference. Well, not the difference, but I think that's an advantage that Arsenal have over maybe other sides who have gone up against Manchester City recently, is that Arteta was part of that structure.
Yeah.
And as was Zinchenko, was Gabriel Jesus.
Mm-hmm. They've got the cheat codes.
It's a cheat. Honestly, you have to have cheat codes to make that move.
I was going to say, give me all the cheat codes, but like, I don't really know what I mean by that. It sounded cool. But I think as an Arsenal fan, maybe if this was happening and I was like 21 or whatever, and I couldn't remember the last time, or I hadn't ever seen Arsenal win the league, I think I'd be probably reacting very differently to it.
What would you be? What?
I think I'd be just way more
anxious,
on edge.
Yeah.
But now, having seen how, like, I literally said to someone a couple of years ago, I'm not sure I'll ever see Arsenal win another league title.
Wow.
In your life?
Yeah, I genuinely thought that because of the way that, this may sound like a little bit over the top, but because of the way that the culture seemed to be going. And it's,
with the money,
like,
and the finances, and the money.
Finances, and also just structure, and just how, like, I couldn't see Arsenal. This is maybe just pre-Mikel, I think. I was like, it's going to take us a long time, and it wouldn't surprise me if I never saw them win the league again, because that was the way that it seemed to be going. And I think that the club, actually, whether Arsenal win the league or not, what matters a little bit more in the long term is the fact that they've built a structure, or they look like they're well on the way to building a structure that can actually maintain multiple title challenges.
Yeah, but it has to matter that as club of Arsenal has to win the league. I hear what you're saying about the building of the structure, but at some stage, you're supporting your team that has had a history of doing it.
Mm.
Probably a lot of fans probably felt like that, Ryan. Only the sensible ones, because you think, well, this is going to take a long time.
Mm.
But like, obviously, Mikel's coming and he's doing what he's doing. But I've never, ever thought that Arsenal would never win it again at some stage. But you do think about the amount of money this other team's got. But I just... You can't. I don't think you can as a fan. You've got to write it off.
No, I'm not writing it off. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that, like, we've seen the process now. We've seen that this actually looks like it could be something that is more long term. And I think there will be other challenges. So I was listening to Andrew and James on the Arseblog, and they were saying, I think it was James said, or Andrew said, it's not like Leicester. It's a different thing, because I feel like this won't be the only chance. I think Arsenal should try and take that opportunity, and they're in an amazing opportunity to do so.
This year.
Whereas Leicester was a glitch in the matrix, what Arsenal have right now could be the start of a dynasty, because they've got a very special group. So I think there's more potential there. Whereas with Leicester, you knew that the players had reached their max, and the ones who hadn't were going to get picked off and go elsewhere, because Leicester couldn't sustain it, and they were never going to. And that's the difference.
I mean by that is that I think that Arteta doesn't think this is anywhere near done.
No, it's not.
So that's why I feel like actually everything is trending in a very good direction. Direction of travel. Moose and I talk about this all the time. Just like how actually it's really, really important to know what the end goal is. And I don't think for Arteta or for Edu or much of that board that I think this is ahead of schedule for them.
I think the end goal will be Champions League still.
Yeah.
That's the end goal. Premier League is a step on the journey to get there, but I don't think they'll think, oh, we've got the Premier League, we're back to where we were. They still want to win the Champions League in the not too distant future.
Can I just say just quickly on the Leicester, because it has to be said out there, it's like when I'm talking about the mentality. What was unbelievable about what Leicester done, and something that I will always admire more than anything else, it was a bunch of players that they've put together. Obviously, Kante, Mahrez, and Jamie Vardy, you know, world-class in that team. But we were able to see a team that nearly got relegated the year before get themselves, once the opportunity arose, into a mentality of what I was talking about, of that elitism. And that is what everyone was saying. Can they do it? Can they do it? For them to go to... They were going to place like Man United and beating them 1-0. They beat City. And that is what I admired about that more than anything else. That is probably why I could never do that again, because I don't think you could put a bunch of players like that together and say that this team will win the league, especially when they were going to get relegated a year before. So honestly, that's what's underestimating, and that is what I'm hoping that this team can find, is that mentality. And with Zinchenko in there, Jesus, even Odegaard. Even Odegaard, with Odegaard's been, when he was at Real Madrid at 15, and the players and the dressing rooms that he must have been in, and seeing how top players react, and that can only be helping that squad right now. I remember when Odegaard came, I'd done something for Norwegian TV, and I was saying, I am very, very surprised that we've got him, because at the time, I said, he's too good for us.
But that year he had a Real Sociedad, he was unbelievable. He's like the best player in La Liga.
I thought they would have he would have gone near.
Couldn't believe it. But
he's genuinely a godsend. And thank you.
Thanks, Martin. Oh, you had a chat with him, didn't you, last week?
Yeah, I had a great... You know, it was really weird because... First thing you notice is that his skin is amazing. Unbelievable.
give us the skincare routine, Martin. We need it.
You know, really unbelievably handsome, beautiful skin. And, you know, we're just a gentleman. I didn't realise how tall he is. He's tall.
Really? I thought he was quite short.
No, he's tall. He was taller than me and almost looking down.
Was he looking down on you?
Well, he wasn't looking down on me, but like he was just like...
No, he wasn't actually.
Taller. Martin Odegaard looks down on club legend.
He just looked very...
High status. Yeah, he's quite an aura.
People are literally built different, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's just an aura, I think, about him.
You know, if you get like... I remember, who was it the last time? I think I saw Tammy. And even when I was in a Qatar and I bumped into Declan and Callum, and like even with Tammy, and you go like that to them, like to go to their arm, it's like touching that. It's like touching wood. It's like, so now every time anyone goes to touch me, I tense my arm up just ready for them, because I thought, surely they can't be that hard. It's like it's like that. They're so tough. Yes,
0% like body fat.
Anything else you want to do on the North London derby?
No, just great result. Yeah. Great result, and another one that's just been ticked off.
It's a big week in the Premier League, or big 10 days or so. Wait, actually, it's a big month.
It's a big month.
No easy games, lads.
We've got City in the Cup after that as well. That'll be a good one to see how we go as well.
Play the kids.
No, but people... momentum.
Momentum.
Okay, whatever.
We'll see.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner, to learn more. Baseball is something else.
WSL.
WSL,
you know,
baby.
I tell you, it was great to see it back. And you know what? In the end, you take that result, but I think that's probably going to cost us in the long run. Winning, yeah. I think we had to win that game.
I agree.
And I, you know what, Flo? And when I, what I saw of it and what I watched of it, I was thinking to myself, it was a good opportunity in that without Beth, without Viv, which is obviously going to be something that's been said until they come back, to have beaten them. I thought they kind of, I thought Leah, the way they let Leah just keep coming forward and pick out some of those passes, we just did not take full advantage of breaking those lines enough. Even there was one early as well with Frieda Marnham, and she went through and Stina was there. She's just got to shout. She was free. She didn't play it to her. You needed to, for me, they needed to get at least two goals up and then go again. The Chelsea would come because you cannot keep Sam Kerr quiet, no matter how quiet she is. She's going to come up.
She was literally like, how quiet are you like now?
Exactly. You cannot keep her quiet. You have to really go for them, get your foot in their necks, like Roy Keane says, and finish them off. And yeah, we didn't do it. I thought that the final pass and stuff like that, for me, Flo, wasn't good enough. And in the end, it's a chance miss. And I think that probably will cost them in the end.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we talked about it a lot on Counterpressed on Monday, and people who listen to both may find me a little bit repetitive, but I have to agree with you, Wrighty, because I think in when you look at it from kind of the outside, you think, oh, okay, Arsenal, massive injury issues, Chelsea, huge depth, 1-1 isn't that bad. But I think when you look at it in the context of the league right now, in the context of Arsenal season and how well they played, how many really good chances they had, of like the Blackstenius header, sorry, the Lino Hurtig header that Dzeciro Musovic made that save on, plenty of other chances.
God, great chances.
I think it is a huge missed opportunity. United also have a game in hand. Yeah. Arsenal's game in hand is against City, which is not going to be easy. So I think it is. I think it's a massive missed opportunity given the how well that they were playing in that game, and they shouldn't have given Chelsea a way back in.
No.
And it's what's frustrating, I think, for Arsenal fans is it feels like deja vu a little bit because of what happened against United at the Emirates, where they also had an opportunity to see the game off, and they gave United that confidence. And I think that's what's frustrating about having the Emirates as this really exciting home for Arsenal women and you know, potentially the future permanent home for them is the crowds are there. You know, the WSL games especially are becoming like proper high ticket box office matches where, you know, the tube was so busy on the weekend that it wouldn't stop at Arsenal Station because the platform was too crowded. Like it is the big fixture of the weekend in North London when Arsenal men aren't in town. But they're playing teams who also enjoy this width, enjoy playing on this pitch. And you have to keep that in mind. You have to play smarter because they actually haven't got the best record there for the amount of you know times they're playing there. So they need to think about this. And I actually thought Chelsea missed a huge opportunity with how much space Lauren James especially was finding, but couldn't, you know, finish any of those opportunities. I think if Chelsea had broken faster, they would have had a lot more chances.
I thought both teams, Flo, in that respect, were guilty of that. I didn't think they passed quickly enough at all, because Lauren James found herself in so much space and the ball was getting there. It should have been getting there a lot quicker. And it's something that I thought, that's going to be a problem for us. I thought that was going to be a problem. They didn't really, they weren't as clinical as I thought they'd be, but the thing with Chelsea is that I know, you know that the calibre of player that they are, the calibre of team that they are, and calibre of players they've got, you have to, like I say, you have to finish them off. Mm. I'm still feeling like, are they comfortable playing on that size pitch? Do they own it yet? How it is with Boreham Wood? Because you just look at it, and Chelsea, like you say, they looked more comfortable in that arena.
I think any elite team, when you change the routine, it's going to take a bit of adjusting. It happened with Arsenal men when they started playing the Champions League games at Wembley, and compared to Highbury, they couldn't get to grips with it. I think if you shift the routine, especially I think the problem is, the only slight kind of negative to, for example, I think it's amazing that Arsenal can get that kind of attendance, especially on
But
North
please,
London,
can you tell us the actual attendance? Have a word.
You never know with Arsenal.
Because they keep going with tickets sold. And what's frustrating is there probably were about 45,000 in there. So just tell it. It was packed. You wouldn't have dropped off that much. Anyway, that's for another day.
But no, I think what happens is they usually put the showcase fixtures there.
Mm.
So therefore, you're shifting your routine for like a big game.
Mm.
And I wonder whether sometimes that can just be
throw
bit like...
Throw you off a bit.
Yeah, I mean, they're good
But they're
enough.
Playing so many there now that I feel like I feel it's not now. As big a change as it was. And now also, when they have got big games there, they're also often training on the pitch. Yeah. And at Colney, they obviously, you know, have training pitches, which are the same dimensions, right? Yeah. So they will be used to it. But I still think it's the fact that they are putting box office games there against elite teams, like you say, that are going to want the space too and are going to love it.
There's more space to exploit. And therefore, I think that was the thing that surprised me about the game, though, was that Jonas didn't make more subs.
Well, I think, unfortunately, Lena Hurtig was not the right person for that position. Kate McKay must have not been fully fit.
She can't have been, no.
So she came on for, you know, the last 20 minutes or so. And
no, I think she came on after 81 minutes, got booked on 88, so she's fine.
She's fine. That's Katie. She's
fine. So the usual.
Arsenal booking, by the way.
anything can happen between now and the end of the season. Chelsea can drop points, and they might drop points because they are not invincible this season. They're not as good as they have been. But they have the depth that Arsenal don't have, and they also have credit in the bank because they've won 3 WSL titles in a row. They have the winning mentality, which this Arsenal group just don't have yet. But I think that's the difference. I think it's hard. Like, there are very good Arsenal players right now, but they need to get that resilience that Chelsea have in abundance.
And we've got to obviously be more clinical, you know, you because. You lose two players of that caliber. That's a nightmare. Mm. That's a nightmare. That's going to cause you a massive problem. But like people just you have to step up, and it's the levels now, because that's what Chelsea showed. How many chances did Sam Kerr have in that game?
Not that many.
Thank you very much. Yeah. You know what I mean. But when it comes down to it, bam.
And she loves the big stage.
She is born for it.
She's not having the best season, but when you need her,
she'll score.
Wembley, Emirates, she'll do it.
Yeah. And so, and you know what? That's what we need. We need Stina to be just a little bit more ruthless about it. Just a bit more like selfish about it. A little bit more grit about it, because that's what's needed in this time.
Actually, she's someone who I thought, I always think Emirates games will suit more, because she's way more dangerous when she's running, when she's got space to run into. Yeah. It feels like there's one piece of the puzzle that needs to be figured out for Jonas.
And there's still a few weeks of the window left as well.
And they've made some good signings as well.
I think the plans are afoot to bring more, a striker
in. Definitely a striker.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Before moving on from Arsenal, should we send some love to Beth?
We lost her mum last week.
It was really sad.
Yeah, it was nice to see the guys as well with the dressing room, with the shirt. That's what I love about the club.
And Sunderland as well.
Yeah,
right?
Sunderland as well. It's nice because you know, when you're injured, you know, it's a nightmare. When your partner's injured and you lose your mum, she's in a place where how can you fathom what she's going? You can't put yourself in her shoes. You can only send the good energy. But the fact is, again, you know, the test what comes to people, you know what I mean? The test what people get, you just think to yourself, my mum used to say, I'm not saying if people are religious or not, but my mum used to say, he will never give you more than you can handle. Of Jesus Christ, the amount of times I've had to say yes, this as well. This is what you think for Beth. So people who do it, you know, just pray for her, man.
Sending love, Beth.
Absolutely.
Should we do some other WSL stuff, because there was a big win for Manchester United?
Yeah, we obviously had Gilly on, who's just announced her retirement, but was at Liverpool on our Counterpress Monday show, and it was pretty bad. Gemma Bonner scored an own goal on debut. I think there were 2 own goals for Liverpool. Yeah, not great. One to sweep under the carpet, but United, they're a very good team, and they will punish you. They're ruthless. Yeah. I mean, Arsenal could do with challenging some of that ruthlessness, because obviously Arsenal don't have the attacking players fit at the moment like United do. But when they're good, United are very good. And Arsenal finishing the weekend in third, there's a serious chance United are going to get that second spot and be in the Champions League at the end of the season, which is huge. So they're looking better and better week by week.
Can I say a team that I'm really worried about? Brighton.
I know. Leicester beating Brighton 3-0.
Honestly, you know something?
They got Arsenal next.
There's no one tells me that result happens like that. No one could say that will happen.
And do you see the Leicester goals? Very good goals.
Great goals.
Like really,
good,
really good goals.
Yeah, well-taken goals.
There's a real chance. I think Leicester are now 3 points behind Brighton. Like you say, Ryan... Brighton have Arsenal next. They've got some really tough fixtures ahead, and Leicester are playing Spurs this weekend. They win that game and they're 1 point behind Brighton. So Brighton are at risk of getting swept into a bit of a relegation fight. But I would say they've made some decent signings in this window. They've obviously got a new manager who's just come in Jens Scheuer. But once it gets going, you'd put your money on them to get out of this tough spot. Whereas Leicester, I just don't think have the quality that Brighton do have. And if it starts going right, we'll get them out of the mess. And that's the difference. But I think it's important for the league to have a bit more of a relegation fight, because a week ago I was like, right, Leicester are done for. They haven't even picked up a point all season. And having a bit of jeopardy is crucial.
It's good for them. Good for, you know, hopefully give them the kind of confidence to, because you don't know who they're going to sign, if they're going to be able to get anyone who's going to go there who can help them. They're going to have to find it within. So, you know, them beating them like they did, they have to try and find something in that, see if they can be resilient in that way. But I still worry for Leicester.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Chaos hour.
What's happening?
We've got a mailbag. Football mailbag.
A non-football mailbag. Yeah.
Shouts to everyone who replied with football questions.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I knew that, man. Loads of people wouldn't read the question before they answered in the exam paper. I knew it.
I said, read the tweet, everyone. Read the tweet. All right. Yeah, so are you okay with me reading them out?
Read them out, man.
Because, okay. You know, we give love. We don't want to hear, we don't really want to hear what I have to say, but we want to hear what you have to say. Okay. Shall we start with... Let's start with, I like this one from Kaz Ford, who's a regular listener of the show.
Okay.
Kaz says, what has Ian's favourite non-football work been that he's done? Love you all. Thanks, Kaz.
Yeah, but let me see. What can I say the best one? I remember doing some stuff that I didn't realise was going to be so rewarding. Was when younger, I'd done a television show for fitter kids, meeting the parents, meeting the kids, meeting parents that were... almost afraid of their kids and let their kids do anything they want, and then try to change their thinking and change the way that they're doing it, the way they're feeding their kids without trying to say that you're parenting their kids, but letting them understand how important it is that the kids eat the right stuff. I remember doing that. Fitter Kids was good.
What about football Behind Bars?
The Football Behind Bars was the most eye-opening thing I've done in my life.
Really?
Let alone, yeah. Because what I learned, you know, people talk a lot about single parent families and stuff like that, and why people end up in prison and the company they keep and that. But what I found with literally all of those guys in there that were in and around between 18 and 22, 23, was alcohol. Alcohol in their family, alcohol in their lives. It was the root of a lot of the stuff, what was going on. But that was good simply because the guys, you speak to them, and obviously you're sitting there speaking to them, and these people have done some stuff. We're talking drug dealers and burglars and stuff like that. But like when you speak to them, they're just like, you're just looking at them and you say, I'm just seeing a kid here who needed a way out, needed a way out. And when you see what they're capable of doing, when you put them in a room, of an educational room with the right people, giving them the right kind of like, conversation to and fro, let them speak how they want to speak. It was unbelievably rewarding for me. So that was really good. That was really good to do.
You must have had some like TV or film cameos in like the 90s and early 2000s, no?
What do you mean?
Or any like, you know, any random little spots that you came in? Like...
Save that, because there's questions on that. There's questions on that.
Where's I know there was a cameo that? Question, but I feel like, did you not like
cameos
appear...
in like, ow.
No, but did you not appear like, you know how like in Spice World, the movie, there were like...
Isn't Ted Lasso, right?
You know something?
Yeah, I know Ted Lasso, but in the, you know, in the 90s
were
or something.
Were you in Spice World, the movie?
You know in Spice World, there were like a million Hang different on. Cameos from people. I don't think you were in Spice World.
No. My Friday Night's All Right. Doing the Friday Night's All Right show when I just finished playing football.
The Moneyball prequel is what a lot of people call it.
Proto Moneyball.
Like doing that show and like, you know, being able to interview Denzel Washington and people like that, you know.
That's
what I mean?
Cool.
You know, it was, that was for me kind of like out of body kind of experience. I remember with Will Smith, we had to do Will Smith, and we used to record on a Thursday for the Friday, and Will Smith was in town, and like we had to record. So we record on the Thursday at 7 o'clock at night. And so we're at the ITV studios, and all of a sudden, so getting ready for everything, doing a production meeting. And we got a call at, well, I think it was 11 o'clock in the morning. And Will Smith, listen, if you lot can't get me to record today at 3 o'clock, I can't do it. right? It was like, Jesus Christ. This is when you start thinking to yourself, oh my God, oh God. And honestly, we had to motorize everything. So we had to change everything. We had to get people in to come in to do the studio. The audience, we had to send emails to the whole of the ITV building and say, listen, if you want to see Will Smith, come downstairs at 3 o'clock, come into the audience and stuff. So then, honestly, so then Will Smith came. It was brilliant. And you know what? I'm not even joking, right? We done that. And we done the show afterwards, then we went to the bar and everything. He must have stayed for like 2 hours.
No way.
He must have stayed for about 2 hours just talking.
Were you not like, hey, Will, I thought you were on the clock.
No. Everybody was kind of doing it, but we were just kind of pleased that he just stayed around. But we just thought, you know what? Man's just flexing. He just flexed it. It's the same with, it was Mariah Carey. You know, people talk about...
Did you have her on the show?
Yeah, I had Mariah Carey.
Wow.
I had to go into...
That is amazing. Yeah, what was she like?
She was amazing.
Really? Wow.
I went into her room and said...
We got to get her on, man.
We'll get her on for Christmas next year.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
And playing us out is...
Mariah Carey was great because the only thing... People say that, oh, she's going to come and she's going to want this and she's going to want that. She didn't want anything. You know what? All she wanted when she came on was when I do the show, I had my seat. I had my seat, which was where like Flo is when you come in, bam, so Flo's sitting there and the guests sit on this seat here.
Yeah.
And the only thing she said is, I'd prefer to sit in that seat. And that was it. But
fine.
She was amazing.
Wow.
Wow. That's beautiful. So cool. Like,
yeah.
That did opened she up sing? A lot more than I thought it was going to that question.
Did she sing as well? Thanks,
yeah, she sang.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I need to find this on YouTube. Yes. That's amazing.
Yeah. Right, Carey.
Wow.
Do you want to hear the bad news about that question? I fired up your IMDb page.
Go on.
What? There must be some film cameos
on
there.
The Rue McCoy was cool. I remember classic. The Rue McCoy. Yeah, that was it was a classic because you had to do that stuff. Yeah, that was really cool. Because when you come in and then, because you don't know, with The Rue McCoy, it's a show where every week they'd have a celebrity come on into their scene.
Mm.
And I had to do an EastEnders one.
Oh, that's so good.
You come in and so you walk in and then the crowd, because they don't know who it's going to be, and they went really crazy.
Stormzy's music video, that was a recent non-football project.
Wow.
That was
Hall
you know
of Fame.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, that was pretty cool. And it's really weird because with it, I didn't want to...
Yeah,
you go into a situation like that, and there's people who do want to push up front and be up, like in.
It's like a school photo, isn't
it? Really was, and you know what I mean. I've got to say, there's certain people who was doing that, but I just thought to myself, I want to do it how people get a glimpse of that you're there. You know, obviously they used a bit where you're walking through, but at the same time, when we had to do the lineup of the umbrellas and that, because it just started to rain and that, I just wanted to be in a place where people can go. Yeah, it was. Instead of being like at the front, because there was someone in particular.
We won't name him. You can guess
till after the show. But like, he was so pushy. And even when I got there, he was so pushy. Even when I got there, he said, "What are you doing here?" And like everybody was laughing at him, really, because I just smiled. I said, you know what I mean? But like, yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty cool.
Well, that's kind of segued into another thing. Brady Frost said, if you could make a cameo in any film or TV series, what would it be?
I want to guess what he would say.
Go on, Andy, you guess first.
I think something like The Sopranos or something. Because that's your genre. You love mafia.
You know something? I was going to say, I'd love to have been in The Godfather. Or Scarface.
Whoa.
Because he just wants a little like...
Counting the money.
in the background.
That's the kind of... I do love those films.
Yeah.
But like, let me see.
Anything current? You as well, Flo. I want to know what
Current. Obviously, I'd want to be in one of the Marvel, Avengers.
Yeah.
I'd want to be in the Avengers.
What would you want your power to be?
I'd want to be Ant-Man.
Oh, so you want to just shrink and
I
then...
I want to shrink.
Yeah, okay.
But can I tell you, one of the things that frightened me more than anything else is when they go into... When Ant-Man goes really small. What's it called? Mm. When he goes to... Like, when... I can't remember what it's called.
Let's just say shrinks.
Yeah. When he shrinks down
to... There's a
special
word
for it. Goes into the quantum place.
Yeah.
I'll handle the Marvel lot on Friday.
But like, yeah, I love that because I love those kind of films. Same with a Matrix-y kind of film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that, yeah. I love that. You know, I loved, and the same with What's Harrison Ford years ago, the sci-fi film?
Blade Runner.
I love the concept of Blade Runner. What I'm disappointed about that in respect of sci-fi is that when Blade Runner came and how I'm thinking, wow, sci-fi is going somewhere else because this is it. And if I'm going to be totally honest, it's not really kicked on to the levels that I thought sci-fi
would. Neither is the world, man. We haven't got any of that shit that was in Blade Runner.
Sci-fi as a genre, actually, you're right, it's kind of not kept up with
really,
the times.
Really, really. Like a Terminator, then you get a Matrix, then you get, you know, you get that like Blade Runner, and you get the first one, and you think, oh my God. And then bam, it just turns into how much money can we make just blasting another couple of them out instead of going deep into what's going on.
I did like the Blade Runner
enjoyed, now I can't remember what it's called, Amy Adams. And,
Arrival.
Yes, Arrival. Arrival, yeah. That is good sci-fi. Mm.
Very good sci-fi. Yeah. I'm just thinking of a cameo. I think I'd like to be in Succession.
I'd like to rock up in Succession
and be like, what are you all doing? or I'd be like, I want to say to Logan, can I tell him to fuck off? Fuck off.
Yeah.
No, you would be like a Silicon Valley tech guy that's come.
You would be.
I really don't know how to take that.
Yeah, but I mean,
that in a good way.
Yeah, that's a good.
Your guys' cameo choices are far more kind of like cultural and intelligent than mine. One of the ones I would love to go on, just like from a physical thing to see if I could do it, is The Floor is Lava on Netflix. I don't know if you've ever watched that. I genuinely think I could complete the course. I think it, like, it's kind of like, don't know if you've ever watched it, but it's sort of like Ninja Warrior meets Total Wipeout.
Yeah.
But the concept is the floor is lava. It's basically an orange liquid and you can't fall in and you've got to kind of jump across and get to the other end. Each room is themed. I think I could be really good at that. And then I would love to just be a try and also do Traitors. And see Traitors, a game show, reality TV game show that's been on iPlayer recently. The US version's just gone up as well. The UK version, I think, is much better than the US one, but it's kind of like Wink Wink Murder or Mafia, the dinner party game, if you've ever played that.
Yeah.
And essentially, if you are a traitor or mafia, you need to try and kill off all the like villagers, the innocent people, and not get caught and then win the money.
Yeah.
And I would love to have a go at trying to do that. So mine's more like reality game show vibes because I just want to see if I could do it.
I like the deepness. I like the deepness.
Yeah, I think Succession would be fun. Other than that, maybe just like, I don't know. You know,
also
like Stephen Colbert had like a cameo in The Hobbit where he just kind of goes, he's in there or something like that. And then he's like, something like that would be cool. Like some major blockbuster. Like, and just be like, my bit's coming up. There I am.
Well, also, that's the thing, right? Is that you will know from being on film sets, like, actually, it's really slow and boring. So it's not actually.
I've never been on a film.
It's really slow and boring. Mm. Like, I've visited stuff that my brothers have done, and it's like, honestly, I remember being there for like 3 hours and they were just walking, they were just shooting a scene of them walking up the stairs, no lines, and it took them that long. And I was like, man, this is so boring.
Another thing as well, going with my mafia thing, because I watch a lot of the mafia stuff, I was watching a film the other day, which I thought, now that I've been thinking about it as well. And remember Al Pacino's film, Dog Day Afternoon? I'd like to be in that film as, you know, like as somebody who's gone in, because they've gone in to rob the bank and, you know what I mean? It's all about the protest stuff, what they're doing, what he's trying to do. I'd like to have been the kind of guy that's in the gang that doesn't really want to be in there robbing the bank, but they need an extra guy.
That's very Ray Winstone vibes of you. Right, like, you're in Ray's crew, yeah, and you're like the one who's a bit of a, like, you know,
I'm a little bit
he's
like,
going to get caught
you're driving
out.
As well.
But then, I'm probably the guy. No, I'm not. I'm probably the guy that they've tagged along because they needed the extra body. But like, I'm the one that actually
he's a liability.
Gets, I get left with somebody who talks me around to help them to escape.
The funny thing about that is at the beginning,
I accidentally shoot them or something. Oh, it's just like, my God.
At the beginning, though, they'd be like, you're all right. And he'd be like, I'm nervous.
I'm worried.
You're in like Ocean's 11. You're in Vegas. You're in the casino lift. And someone, and you let the whole thing slip. You start sweating and the security guard's looking at you in the lift and you're like shaking and sweating. But, and he's like, there's something not right here.
Yeah, but you say that Ocean's 11. And it annoys me listening to Don Cheadle's Cockney voice in that. It's one of the things I think to myself.
Bad.
I could have done that better than him.
Yeah.
I could have done
it's
that better.
Very
so
bad.
When I watch that film, I think to myself, yeah, could I do it? Could have done that film.
Well, let's keep on the movie thing.
Go on then.
Kazimwa said, who would you want to play you in a movie? And the second one says comedy, action, romance, or sci-fi. But let's just go with the first one, I think. Who would you want to play you in a movie? I'm going to go to Flo Lloyd Hughes first.
Mm.
So in terms of the genre, I would just go straight rom-com straight away. It's going to be a rom-com. I know it's going to be a rom-com.
Who's
and,
playing
And I would love Kristen Wiig to play me. I think she's a brilliant comedian.
She's the funniest.
SNL, Bridesmaid is one of my favorite like comedies, American rom-com comedies of all time. I think she's brilliant. And also, I think she's quite understated. She's quite quiet. She's not very Hollywood. She lives quite a quiet kind of lifestyle.
I love her.
I would love her to play me. I think she's fucking hilarious. So, yeah.
Strong.
Yeah.
Michael Ward. Michael Ooh. From Top. Yeah, I'd have Michael Ward to play me. I was watching him in Top Boy, watching him in the Empire. This film recently, it was just come out. I'm going to watch that, but like, he's something I just feel like he could get me. And I've seen him do certain looks when he was doing it, what I was doing when at my that age when I was younger. I'd look at people like that and I had that kind of same vibe as him. And I watched him in Top Boy and he was amazing in that. I think that him, he's the one that would play me. I'd want him to play me.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like Michael Ward. I think he's going to be amazing. I think he's going to be amazing. He's going to be one of our top actors.
Wow. I feel mine's a bit silly compared to that because the only like slight celebrity lookalike I ever get is like sometimes Jake Gyllenhaal, but not usually.
Yes!
Like, but not
yes!
usually.
Right,
but I need to clarify this because everyone's going to be like, yeah, all right, mate. But not like jacked, like hunky Jake Gyllenhaal. More like Donnie Darko, weird teenager Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Or the like Taylor Swift dating era one, like lots of like cardigans and vibes.
So maybe like nerdy Jake.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd have to like get a lot less ripped.
You know who else?
Stop
going to the gym, Jake, and then it can happen.
Yeah, when actors are like, oh, he had to get so cut for this movie, and Jake Gyllenhaal's actually like, I had to basically just sit down and do podcasts for 7 months to get into shape for this movie.
Obviously, I want to be in Cars. I want to be a car in Cars.
Well, actually, should we? Is that why? Well, why was this not the cameo? This is absolutely the cameo.
What would your car be called?
I don't know what my car would be called.
You'd have to do the noises, right?
I know. I'd love to. I'd love to have been a car in Cars because I always think, what car would I be? I'd probably want to be something like a Mini.
This is so good. I'm not going to lie. Like, this is genuinely.
I'd want to be a Mini in Cars.
Like, find you someone who loves you as much as Ian Wright loves Cars.
I love that.
The movie. Not like, he's not a petrol head. He's a petrol head as long as it's animated.
Yo, I'll tell you what we'll do. Next time we're around and you're with my girls, because they had to watch it so much when they were younger, they had to watch it. Cars and Incredibles. So I say to them, let's watch a film. And I go, Incredibles! And they go, no.
All right, well, quickly, kind of related, because another one of your great loves is Shrek.
Yes.
Oh, great film.
Holly Ballin says, what or who is the best character in the Shrek films, and why is it the Do the Roar kid?
It's a man, I love Do the Roar kid.
Do the Roar.
You know who I do love, but he's not my favourite, and is the little gingerbread man.
Oh, yeah, I love the gingerbread man.
Pinocchio is cool.
I liked Jennifer Saunders' fairy godmother character.
She was so good.
She was really good.
But I just feel that for me, the best character in it is Puss in Boots, Antonio Banderas. It's just such a cool character. You could just see this cat is so cool. The new one's coming out soon.
Yeah.
We'll take my girls to see that. But like, I think that he's for me, he's the best character. But the Shrek itself is such a brilliant film. The message, and especially the Shrek Forever After, when he said, I just want a day to myself where I'm not, you know what I mean? He gets upset with everybody. Yeah, it was brilliant. And then what happens is that, and I love the way they like Rumpelstiltskin. They sneak Rumpelstiltskin in as a little bad guy. Right, and then he might lose the day, so he has to fall in love with his missus
again.
Did
we have to give a spoiler alert, this, by the way? Because this is basically the whole...
Oh my gosh, sorry, everybody. But can I just say...
What's the statute of limitations on spoilers?
But can I just say, there's a bit in it where even, like, the Pied Piper is the hitman, right? So the way they do it. So the Pied Piper, if you haven't seen it, please watch it. The Pied Piper's the hitman, and the way he gets everybody is that when he starts playing, right, you have to dance.
Yeah, man.
You have to dance.
Well,
you should see how he comes in. He comes in playing the flute and he's like standing on rats. They bring him in and then bam, he comes in like he's on a hoverboard of rats. And then he starts doing his stuff. What's up?
I know how old you are this year, by the way.
Go on.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
I love kids' films.
All right, listen, segue. You talked about Can't Stop Dancing.
Mm.
Emmanuel Gardner, you're creating a playlist for your birthday party.
Wow.
What three songs do you choose that will definitely get folks open on the dance floor?
Get folks on the floor. Well, I'm very old school, right? As you know, what you guys see what I send in the group. So I probably do, let me see.
Like an old school soul. And
I think my first one, if there was a
loose, I've got a good mix.
Loose End's going to make you mine. It would always work.
So it depends. It depends on what they want. So I'd probably play Ascension by Maxwell. Right?
Wow.
I'd probably play that because that's my kind of vibe. So I'd have that. Let me see. I'd probably have some kind of disco-y tune. Yeah. Let me see. What disco?
I've got a disco one.
What you got? Go on.
I have Gwen McRae, All This Love That I'm Giving, which is like one of my favorites that I just always put on if I'm like cooking or just want to kind of like move and give myself a bit.
It's impossible not to it's impossible not to go on that dance floor. If there's a dance floor nearby where that's playing, it's impossible not to.
I probably have something like, because it's just in the top of my head, I'm just, you know, like something like Patrice Rushen, Haven't You Heard?
Oh, this is,
and God, you know,
I love you both. This is amazing.
I've got one that's go like on. Great, but only just because, like, Ryan's gonna hate this, but the intro of this, whenever I hear it, I'm just like, so good. Infinity by Guro Josh. When you know the intro is like, it's like, you're gonna hate that, but
why am I gonna hate it?
It's everyone like relax, that, take some time. That's a good. That would get me out.
You know what? And you know, just a quick one as well. Just what I'd play if the third one is like Steve Harrington, Weak at the Knees. Yeah. You make me weak at the knees. Because all my they're kind of funky, cool tunes. Yeah, that's the kind of vibe. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff I like. You know what I mean? And this is why I've got my playlist. Obviously, my playlist on Spotify, and I've got everything on there. It's everything.
Do you just do it as? I know some people who just have a really long one that's like my song.
Really long.
And it's
not
just like
out.
Thousands.
Yeah.
So you don't break it up by genre or vibes.
No. I just put it on.
And then you do shuffle.
Yeah. Just put it on shuffle and it just comes in and it's brilliant like that. It's brilliant like that. I love it. So probably those.
I think I'd lure people in with some disco and like soul stuff, and then I'm hitting with some old school like
early
jungle like Tom and Jerry.
I'd probably have to put a bit of UK garage in there somewhere.
Early Tom and Jerry,
just to have a little snare and a little bass.
Yeah.
Well, what I was listening to the other day, I found it again and put it on my playlist, was Big Daddy Kane, Set It Off.
Oh,
the lyrics! Oh my God, the
lyrics! So good. All right, should we do Kunle Ajayi?
What's Kunle want? What are you saying, Kunz?
If Righteous House was a movie. Who's the villain?
Flo's the villain already. No.
It's not the end of the question.
I know he's a villain.
Why is it actually Riot, he says.
No, I know who it is. The villain of Righteous House is Musa.
The villain is Musa, but like, you know what
you
I like about
Musa?
He's a total package of a villain. He's got the roll neck, he's got the brains, he's got the beauty.
No one's ever seen his place.
Yeah, but
and he's charming, and that is scary.
A telltale sign, but the thing is that Ryan, you know the last bit of Kaiser Sose when he's walking down the road, and then all of a sudden it turns out, and then bam, and then all of a sudden everyone says, "Oh my God, it was Ryan! Ryan's the bad guy."
Time.
Everybody's gone for Musa because Musa. It's obvious. Musa has got. He's born to be a bad
guy.
It's
like Incredibles 2. It's just like Incredibles 2 when it turns out to be the brother,
You think
and not the woman the whole time, or the vice versa.
It was the sister,
not the brother.
Yes.
Yeah. So say we're in like the the Righteous House universe, right? Mm. See, I think Musa's like Thanos, but he's done as a villain. Whereas
you're Kang.
Look behind you.
Oh my God! Just
terrifying.
Listen, I have to literally edit multiple timelines.
Oh my God!
And also, Kang. You have all the tapes, so you can cancel all of us.
Listen,
because you have the blooper reel.
Yeah, listen. You think I'm bad? Wait till you meet my variants.
Oh my God! You know what? Ryan is easily can be the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know. You know who else? You know who else could be the bad guy?
That's really mean.
You know, could be the bad guy and a real mysterious villain. Karl Anka.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I was thinking Jeanette for Pure Chaos. Well dressed, and just can leave chaos in her way.
Do you know what? I think we've realized.
No fear.
There's a lot of
villains. Everyone's a villain.
You know the thing with Jeanette as the bad guy.
Are we the bad guys?
Jeanette as the bad guy is simply she's just out there as the bad. I don't care.
Exactly.
Yes,
own
I
it.
Am the bad guy.
Bad with a capital B. Jeanette.
She's kind of like Bane, because I think she just has no fear, because she just wants to go out there and cause chaos.
To be honest,
she doesn't, she wants people to fear her. She doesn't know. She doesn't care if people are like, oh, like she's not quiet and mysterious like Musa or Carl. She's like,
but also,
watch
when,
me, bitch.
When Jeanette's around, I can imagine her being like, do you feel in control? And I'm like, no, actually. Exactly. No, I don't. I really don't.
Because I'm in control.
Yeah, but Mayowa can be, because Mayowa can be Musa's kind of, you know, when,
yes,
when Musa walks in, Mayowa will walk in next to him with the same coat on. Both of them.
Musa. Mayowa, put your hands
over
your
ears. That's their final form.
With the same coat on. The two bad guys, just in case. And this is my son.
All right. Okay. I think that's good.
Is that okay?
Good.
Oh, yeah. Is that enough?
I don't think I'm a villain.
There's plenty there.
Maybe I'm a villain. I don't know.
Kang.
I can't wait. We had a couple of questions on the new Ant-Man. I can't wait to see Kang.
No. I can't wait to see Kang, because, like, obviously, I thought I love Thanos as a bad guy. I love Thanos as a bad guy. Everything about him was magnificent. Everything. He's just majestic. And I think that we need another bad guy that's not as big and so imposing. We just need a bad guy that you could look at and think, he really is a bad guy, but he's not imposing bad guy, but like Kang is going to be a serious bad guy.
You're an Avenger. Have I killed you before? Terrifying! should we get out of here? That's right.
Let's do it, man. Thanks very much. Hey, Flo, thanks very much, Flo. Thanks very much, Ryan. See you soon.
Nice to see you.
Take it easy, man. Okay, thank you very much for listening, everybody. Thank you to Flo. Thank you very much to Ryan for coming in on this one. I really quite enjoyed that. That was really cool. Hopefully you enjoyed it as well. Thanks for the questions. Thanks, everybody, for the questions. And what can I say? Okay, it was a big week last week. Kind of came over it. It's a big week next week. I know that I'm not making it too much about Arsenal. I don't want to make it about Arsenal, but at the moment, it's kind of about Arsenal. Need to beat Man United now. So hopefully we beat Man United. If that happens, then I'll see you next week. And if it doesn't happen and we don't beat them, I'll still see you next week.